If you could please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll call a meeting to order. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Raster.
Here.
Trustee Van Oven is here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Gass.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
I'd like to propose two modifications to the agenda to move item 11 to 4B and to move item number 12 to 6B. Are there any other suggested modifications to the agenda this evening? Are there any suggested modifications to the agenda from any of our visitors? Is there a motion to approve the agenda as modified? Trustee Dart, is there a second? Trustee Gass?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Are there any announcements this evening? Mr. Burke?
I have three brief items. First one for the board. If you are available on Friday, August 15th, between 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m., that is the customer appreciation luncheon in Green Bay Metro Sewerage District. They will overview 2014 activities, what they plan for 2015, and a brief overview of the 2015 budget. So if you are available, I would encourage one or more of you to attend. It is worthwhile to see firsthand what they're doing. That will be the initial preview of their budget for the next year. The workshops and so forth will take place after that with regard to their budget planning, but this is their kickoff for the budget process. And it is for all customers. So if you can attend, feel free to do so. I will send you an email with the address and so forth so that you have that. Second item is with regard to the Central Brown County Water Authority. As you know, we did do a bond sale on July 24th. And just wanted to point out the results of that. The interest rate that was forecasted for the bond sale was 3.93%. It actually came in at 3.55%, so that was quite favorable. The net present value savings of the bond sale was forecasted at $7.2 million, which was a cost savings of 5.6% on the overall financing or refunding. That was what was forecast. What was actually obtained was $12.1 million net present value savings, 9.6%. So it was quite favorable bond sale.
Wow.
For the Water Authority. That means that's a $12 million present value cost savings to the customers, which for us will translate to, over the 20-year life, at least a couple million dollars in cost savings for Alloy. As we talked about before this sale went forward, there is a project in here as well. So if we didn't have the water storage project, the savings would have even been greater. So this was with the project that we have undertaken here just recently. So that's quite favorable. Third item is the letter that Village President Van Den Avon received a couple of days ago. The Safe Route to School program is formally awarded for funding for the Village of Alloy. So that project will move forward with regard to the contract, the design details, and things of that sort. And we have a four-year window to complete that project. So that is moving forward.
For everything we asked for?
Pardon?
Did we get everything we asked for? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, it looks like a little bit more. But it looks good.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Mr. Lang?
The well-awaited and anticipated construction of the reconstruction of the Cleveland Trail is scheduled for either next Tuesday or Wednesday. Once we have the complete schedule for the construction, we'll post that on the village website as well as posting it in the kiosks that are along the trail. The construction is going to start near Hoffman Road in the part, get that section done first, and then we'll pick up the southern part from Hoffman Road to Easy Park once that's completed.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Hearing none, we'll move on to public appearances. Is there anyone like to speak? If you're here to speak with regard to the sexual offender ordinance, if you could wait until item 6 on the agenda, we'll open it up at that time. Is there anyone who'd like to speak with regard to any other issue? Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is David Steffen. I am a local elected official in the Village of Howard. I'm a fellow trustee. I have served for now on my fourth term, and I am now running for State Assembly for the 4th Assembly District, which includes the Village of Alloway. I just want to take a moment of your time to formally introduce myself, considering I am going to be one of four individuals who will be representing this community on state issues. I thought it would be appropriate and helpful to have an opportunity to just introduce myself. As a fellow local elected official, certainly it's the issues that face you as a municipality are incredibly important. The state has a great role in the way you operate and fund your budgets. And as I was telling your, I believe your soon to be approved new administrator, Mr. Lang, unfortunately, there isn't a lot of help that municipalities like ourselves, and I say ourselves, Howard, Alloway, have down in Madison to get what we need in terms of legislation done. There's only one lobbyist for all 1,100 municipalities in the entire state of Wisconsin. And we also don't have a lot of big campaign money to throw around, do we? So that means that our issues often get second fiddle, and it's important that our communities are properly represented down in Madison. Issues, whether it's DNR, whether it's stormwater retention, whether it's transportation funding, which, by the way, there's rumors of drastic transportation aid funding cuts coming down the road for municipalities like Alloway. We need to have a good advocate for municipalities, municipality rights, home rule. And so these are important issues. I'm looking forward to working with this body and the other communities. Certainly coming from the municipal level provides me a perspective, an understanding, and above all, a true passion for the issues. So again, I'm hoping to have an opportunity to work with you individually and collectively as your next state assembly person for the area. Thank you so much,
Mr. Steffen. Could you give your address for the record?
My address is 1593 Redstone Trail, Village of Howard. And while I'm not an Alloway resident, my wife is a Bitters Court native here in Alloway, so I at least married into good stock from the area here. So thank you again so much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak this evening? Can speak on any item you wish. We only can take action on items listed under a business section of the agenda. All right, hearing none, we will move on to old item 11. Action regarding the request to name dedicate the concession building at Optimus Park, the Paul Lee Joyce Pavilion building. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gast?
I will move to approve that motion, and I'm very, very pleased and honored to be able to make that motion.
Is there a second? Trustee Dart?
I second that.
Discussion? Before we vote, we will open it up to see if Mr. Lee Joyce would like to say a few words. Yes, Trustee Gast?
No, I had the pleasure to be on the board as a new president man. Few other ones. When Paul spent just tireless hours, you know, getting this Miracle League organized, and what a beautiful, beautiful, you know, venue in our community. I mean, it's one of the highlights of our community. I mean, many people come into our community to participate and to watch, and it's just, you know, I've been to some of the opening days, and it's just a fantastic opportunity and establishment for our village. And it wouldn't be here but for Paul's vision and passion, you know, for that. So I'm fully in support of this motion as a small way to recognize, you know, what he's done for our community.
I remember when we were doing some, or they were doing some work on this and had approached the board, and the idea was that obviously we wanted to use it for the Miracle League, but that we wanted to all keep it opened up for the public to use. And I have to confess, Paul, I'm down on that field playing with my sons at least once a week during the summer. And not only the field itself, and it really does represent the community and what Alloway is all about, and has continues to put us on the map and communicate to the world what we're all about, but the Favre family playground and that area would never have developed the way that it was if it weren't for the Optimist Field. And as Trustee Guest said, the Optimist Field wouldn't exist if it weren't for you, Paul. So we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, from the entire community, for all of your work. And the rest of the Optimists as well. We appreciate your involvement in the community.
One of the miracles behind it, the Miracle League, is how it has expanded nationwide, and how there are now, when it started, when Paul went out there and started working on things, I think there was two or three, and now there are, I believe, over 400. And that miracle has spread and spread and grown. What an incredible attribute to you and the work that you've done. And I think that this is more than well deserved. If there was a way for us to make it even bigger, better, and fantastic, we would. I don't think we're going to put the lights on it, you know, the big blinking ones, but still, thank you very much for everything that you've done.
Anything further from the board?
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Paul, would you like to say anything?
I would just like to say thank you to the board and to the village for its support each and every one of those years. We had just finished our ninth season Saturday, and next year's the 10th anniversary. But I certainly hope that Brad's replacement is as good or as much of a supporter as Brad has been, because we thank the village, we thank Brad, and appreciate your support. Pauley Pavilion must be already taken, but I'd endorse that. Thank you.
Thank you. You're assuming we're going to replace Brad. We're just going to make, if the motion passes tonight with regard to the new administrator, we're just going to make him work twice as hard. Thank you again. All right, item number 5. Action regarding the new administrator. This is from the 15th of July. I'm not sure Dennis, do we need to break this up into A and B, the agreement and the appointment?
I think we're one of the same.
I have two. So we're going to take 5A and B unless there are objections from the board. I've written to you a summary of memo with regard to the specifics that Mr. Lane and I negotiated as far as an employment agreement. The legalese and the final I's and dotting the I's and crossing the T's is being taken care of by Attorney Duffy, and I think that's about ready to go. But the gist of it you have in the memo that I wrote. So I would like to make a motion that we accept the employment agreement and appoint Brad Lang as the new village administrator for Alloway effective tomorrow. Is there a second? Trustee Dart seconds. Discussion? I have one thing to add. You have the full support of this board from left to right, and you will have the full support of the staff at the village. And I'm hoping that you'll have the full support of the residents. So we're going to make this work, and you're going to succeed. I have no doubt about that. Anything further? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Item number six. Action regarding the sexual offender residency ordinances. Do you want to get an update from Attorney Duffy before I entertain a motion?
Yep.
Okay, we'll suspend the rules. Attorney Duffy, do you want to sort of lead us into your thinking on this, kind of what happened in Milwaukee, perhaps, and anything else that you want to add?
Well, the village board originally tasked the DEO to come back with statistical information about the number of convicted sex offenders located in the village, the increase in the population of convicted sex offenders, try to figure out why or what was prompting that increase. What he found out, what even the city of Milwaukee found out, is that these statistics that are available through the national database and so forth are not that easy to data mine to get a clear picture of what's going on. But we do know that we have an increase in the number of resident convicted sex offenders in the village. The board had legitimate concerns because we've never had any sort of sexual residency restriction ordinance in place. We have what we would call safe zones or loitering ordinance that relates to places where children congregate. The city of Milwaukee within the last 2 weeks has been wrestling with the same problem on a much larger scale. All the surrounding suburban communities in the county of Milwaukee have sexual offender residency restriction ordinances. The city of Milwaukee did not. They kept pursuing this with the Department of Corrections because their numbers, the number of offenders that they were receiving was just extraordinary in relation to the number of offenders they produced, so to speak. So they took this action, and their ordinance is similar to other ordinances that have been court tested, and that was sort of my baseline for looking for developing an ordinance for use here in the village of Alloway. We are part of a large metropolitan area. I know many of you had assignments or tasks to create ordinances reflecting different restrictions and things, and they were good ideas, and I don't disagree with the ideas. But what I wanted to do was keep the substance of any ordinance that you would adopt on residential zoning restrictions or area restrictions for these sex offenders is what's already been tried and true and hasn't, you know, isn't part of creative thinking, because you can have a lot of good ideas. But whenever you're trying to, in this case, regulate a portion of the criminal population, a particular class of convicted offenders within that population, you're presenting yourself with a number of federal due process and state due process claims, which have been addressed in a number of these cases. So in that sense, what you see before you is from the city of Milwaukee, but what is there is also found in a lot of other municipalities in Milwaukee County throughout the state. And you know, some of you sent me some nice ordinance formats with some ideas and things, and I wasn't either ignoring you or saying that, you know, this idea wouldn't work. It's just I would prefer to stick with what is exactly straightforward. And what other communities have been, you know, they've been taken to court on them. Let's start there. I found a number of interesting provisions in smaller communities that I don't know what their sex offender population may or may not be, but they are not, a lot of them are not contingent, contiguous to a large metropolitan or part of a large metropolitan area like we are, where our population is in excess of 300 plus thousand. And you know, the comparables are receiving Milwaukee, Madison, maybe something on the west side of the state. So that's what you have before you. And if you look at the map that we're using with the 2,000-foot radius from
places for children to congregate, you'll find that there is a small portion of the village that would be available to convicted designated offenders, and we're referring now to that group of sex offenders who have committed sex offenses against children, could locate without any type of, there's no prohibition from them in that area. What I don't know is, I'm not quite sure what the inventory of housing is that would be available to them in the unrestricted areas in the village that we named on that map. And I don't know where, did Dio Lapno, is that what you had seen?
According to this map, there's just really, really tiny, tiny little pieces. Is that a problem? I mean, is that legal? Because we're eliminating the whole village.
You're not. You're leaving areas where they can reside. And if you look at the map, which I did not enclose, but the map the city of Milwaukee drew, out of the entire city of Milwaukee, the number of units that are available are approximately 150. And they have, the perspective from looking at their map is similar to what you're seeing with ours, in that essentially most of the city is restricted because of the, when you take that radius, that 2,000 foot radius from your schools and parks, and we have some parks and trails and things that run the length of the village. Mm-hmm. And that's going to capture a very large area.
Dennis, do you know how the proportion of, in terms of proportions, how this compares to Green Bay? Is it more or less restrictive in terms of the percent of properties that would be an offender would be allowed to live in?
I don't know the answer to that, but I think a large part of Green Bay is restricted in the spots that are available, where convicted sex offenders, designated offenders, can choose to live. This is very, very small. You don't have a lot of choices.
It was my understanding that if you were going to adopt a residency ordinance, that you had to have an appeals board. Is that?
I think that was the thinking when these first came about, and Green Bay was one of the first among some other communities in the southern part of the state that brought these restriction ordinances forward with the appeals board. And now it appears that the majority of the communities have simply gone with the restrictions themselves and no appeal board. Okay. And the number of the cases that are referred to in our ordinance in the whereas portion have gone up, and they do not have an appeal, residency appeal board, as a mechanism within their ordinance.
Now, this it strikes me that as we take more and more steps, restricting where someone can live and then not having an appeals board, that eventually this is going to be challenged somewhere. What are your thoughts? And I think Trustee Rafter mentioned the last time or the time before that really the long-term goal of this is to get the attention of the state and to get some sort of action at the state level so that we're all playing by similar rules rather than constantly adjusting our ordinances to move people from one municipality to the next. Do you anticipate any... I wish Mr. Stephan were here. Do you anticipate any action at the state level with regard to... A statute of some sort?
You know, there was a wave of this previously that was very similar to what our discussion is today, and that we needed some sort of uniformity because all these different local regulations were popping up along with different appeal boards and different areas, and then with the whole equity argument as to what's fair or what's... Do you take your own convicted sex offenders and have them placed in the community and feel comfortable that they're ours, and instead of getting people from either out of state, out of county, or wherever. to answer your question, I don't know. Milwaukee really kind of put it right in the lap of the Department of Corrections, and they're going to need some help. They're going to need some legislative assistance to make this work.
Right.
Whether that'll happen. Nobody wants ownership of the issue. It's a difficult one. It's hard for a legislator at the state level to say, well, I want us to step in and take care of this problem, because doesn't seem to be a great upside for it.
Yeah, two of my concerns about residency restrictions that I've had since the beginning was, one, you know, offenders going underground, and that's, well, we've discussed that over and over again, and that, you know, we'll never know until, if we were to enact this, until we see sort of the results, whether or not that is going to be a result or not. But the second was the creation of sort of high-density patches in a municipality. If you restrict where offenders can live and it's in small patches, that's exactly what they'll do. And I know there aren't, with the $2,000 or 2,000-foot radius plan, there aren't very many, but there are some, and one of the solutions to that is something that Trustee Harris raised, and that's a density element or restriction within the ordinance that would restrict how many offenders can live within a certain proximity of one another. And Trustee Rafter gave us an example of Belgium that has just that regulation. Are you recommending that we not explore things like that simply because they're not tried and true, and you think that the residency restriction alone will achieve the short-term outcome that we're after?
Starting backwards, I think it will achieve, and I think it will be rather dramatic in terms of the number of placements you're going to see in the community if you adopt this ordinance. I think it's still a good idea, but we're all sort of reaching toward the idea we could create a ban where there would be no sex offenders in the community. And you did state my position correctly in that what I'm trying to stay with is ordinances that have been up before courts and looked at, and in those instances they didn't have that particular provision in them, and that provision, you know, may make a lot of sense, but I'd avoid being creative at this point, and then have the housing stock looked at real closely, either by the DEO or whoever you feel would give you the best information as to what is available, where that could potentially happen. And we can always, we have to come back and attempt to address it.
Trustee Darden, I'm sorry.
That's sort of where I was going. Are we creating a problem in these two little tiny pockets of 3% of Allocate?
And most of us know the village relatively well, and the housing stock isn't horrible in these areas, but there are some smaller homes and smaller parcels in these areas that I'm not sure if they're being rented now or not, but Trustee Rafter.
I have a question on the map. That the pocket in the northeast area next to the green spot on the map, that's about 1,000, the red line is about 1,000 feet from the edge of the park, at least according to the legend. So from Webster School and the park behind it. So would that little area actually even be eligible? 2,000 feet would take it past the green spot.
So that white area shouldn't be there is what you're saying. That it looks like it's an unrestricted area near the green.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I didn't create the map, but
yeah, I don't know.
You're probably going
to get my finger on the streets, or I can't read it.
So I don't see how that could be wrong.
It's pretty green.
What are the streets there?
Very hard to read the map.
No, I can't.
Get your glasses.
East River.
Glasses, huh?
It's St. Joseph. It's your east.
It's St. Joe's?
So we got St. Joseph right here.
Thank you.
St. Joseph's up above it. Yeah, it's the main street that goes across. So if you look at Webster School and you go up to, just go up a block, that's St. Joseph going east to west. And you head east.
So it's right here.
It's yeah. Next to a parkway. It shouldn't be, open.
The right. Green is all considered parkway, Bren? Oh, there's no park down there, right? It's basically just
vacant.
But in, the 2,000 foot map, that's less than 2,000 feet from Webster School. So you'd have to push that red line west or east.
I don't think so.
2,000 feet from Webster School?
Yep.
From here to here.
If you look at the legend, it's 600 feet.
I think you might be looking at that wrong.
Am I looking at that wrong?
Yeah.
That
I think this is the portion on the map, right?
Right.
Yeah. This is.
Okay, here's Libel. Here's the Village Hall site.
That's actually
Webster School.
Where's Webster School?
Distance.
Webster School would be up here.
Right. And then you have the park.
I was looking at this part.
Right? I don't know if that legend is right, because there's no way that it's less than 2,000 feet from Webster School to the
The legend's broken apart in terms of 600 to 300 to zero, back to 600. So the whole length of that is 1,200 feet.
Oh, okay, so I was reading it wrong. Okay.
Yeah. But the parkway could be the issue.
But, if that's considered a parkway, even though it's not a park, then that section would be eliminated, even with reading the legend correctly. So we're left with the southwest corner and this tiny spot on the far north central. Looks like perhaps one resident. Any further questions for Dennis before we open it up?
Just have one.
Yes, Trustee Redmond.
Dennis, I'm sorry if you had said it before, but have the density restrictions been tested in courts? Like where one sex offender can't live within 1,000 feet of another sex offender?
I've not seen it.
Okay.
Okay, unless there are objections, I'll open it up to our guests. Yes, ma'am?
So, Shuli, 350 Taft Street. I can see a problem coming down the line if there's only 150 places somebody can live in Milwaukee or anywhere. This is a continual problem the rest of our lives. It's going to keep growing. You'll have a legal challenge to that in no time. If you restrict it that small in Alloway, they're going to say you're not allowing people to live and you're not giving them the freedom. I can see that already. I don't think that ordinance is going to fly very long. And if you want to really address it long term, maybe we have to be innovative and go with the density thing that hasn't been challenged. Talking to the attorney, what would be a challenge in your mind about restricting density? How could that be taking away someone's rights?
Dennis, do you want to...
You want me to have a dialogue with
No, I don't. You have to address...
Sorry,
the
but anyway, if you would, look into that, I mean... Why can't we be innovative and do what works for the village? Because we have so much parkway, the whole lane. We're trying to appease the process of having sex offenders live here the best we can, and I don't see the other way working. So the density issue is, once again, back to what I had said, that's my big concern. You're going to have neighborhoods go down the drain and alleyway otherwise.
Anyone else who'd like to speak with regard to this issue? Take up the rules. A couple of things. One, I know from what I've heard from residents, including our guests tonight, is one offender has ruined neighborhoods. So it's not even about necessarily about a density issue. It's about the fact that there are any in our community. So to Dennis's point, I think we're, you know, when we think about this issue, I think what most municipalities would rather have happen is just let's have them go somewhere else. And so it's really hard for me to wrap my mind around whether we should be thinking about just restricting the density, the number that are in a particular area, or whether we want to restrict the overall number or what to do. I don't know about the density issue. I like the idea. It would prevent the problem of having too many in one specific neighborhood. Dennis, can you address the question that she raised about, and I think maybe already you have, but is there anything that you can add to why we wouldn't want to explore, and I think this is what Trustee Rafter might have been getting at, this density, simply because it hasn't been tried and we don't want to be getting too creative and out front with some of these things. Is that right?
That's right. If you look at the map, and you look at the area that what the density, the future density is going to be, which is going to be zero in the gray area. And would it be fair to say that with the 2,000-foot radius from places where children are located, schools, parks, child care centers, that we've got probably in excess, close to 96% of the village is restricted.
Mm-hmm. Trustee Rafter?
As Dennis was just saying that, I'm thinking, well, let's say we did 1,000 square foot around any park or school or where children reside, and then we did a 1,000 foot resident or density ordinance, you're probably going to cover the same geography, just under a different term. We already have 30 sex offenders living in the village of Alloway. If we did 1,000, you can't live within 1,000 feet of another sex offender, there wouldn't be another place in Alloway to live. So the density may come
right
up with the same result as the residency ordinance.
And it would eliminate the possibility of these high density areas, but it also put you out front in terms of your exposure with creative ordinances to restrict residency.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Paul.
Trustee Gast?
I'm in favor of the ordinance that Dennis has presented to us from Milwaukee, you know, and patterned on the Milwaukee one. And the reason I'm in favor of it is because, one, you know, according to Dennis's analysis, it's been tested, you know, legally in multiple instances. And if there is going to be a legal challenge made to that broad-based kind of an ordinance, I suspect it will be against the Milwaukee ordinance and not Alabama. You know, I wrestle with this because I'm still not convinced at all that this is good public policy. For all the reasons we've discussed before, with, you know, some people going underground. But the bigger problem to me is that many of our neighbors, particularly Green Bay, have ordinances on the books. I don't want to look at one more neighborhood in the village of Alloway and have to explain why we didn't adopt something. I don't ever want another Brandt situation. You know, I've always said I'm in favor of Alloway taking its proportional share. But we had somebody move into one of our neighborhoods, and by all accounts has destroyed that neighborhood because he had his approval in Green Bay revoked. I don't want that to happen again. And I hope that the state does address it because I think, you know, these kinds of things, piecemeal and pattern work across the state are not good policy, but we'll have to wait for the state to take that up. So I think the Milwaukee ordinance is appropriate, you know, for our village. Because, like I said, I don't want to see another Brandt situation where we get somebody's, you know, somebody's been kicked out of somebody else's municipality, and they wind up in ours. That can't happen anymore, in my estimation. So I think the Milwaukee ordinance is the right one. I like the 2,000-foot radius, I think we need to make an adjustment to the map, you know, to get rid of that one area that we focused on that's right next to the walkway. And I admit it's a pretty broad-based ordinance, but it eliminates, you know, us taking somebody else's rejects that have been kicked out of their communities. If we were all playing on an equal playing field, then I think this is a stupid thing to do. But we're not playing on an equal playing field. And I think it's going to get worse. I think DePere is going to wind up revisiting theirs in light of the offender placed next to Sybil Hoff or near Sybil Hoff. So I think they'll be revisiting theirs. And we just need one or two more municipalities, and we'll be the only place that offenders can go to, and that's just not right. I'm in favor of the Milwaukee ordinance.
As we were talking about density, another issue that came to mind is the administration of it, that, you know, keeping track of where people are as they move in and out, and, you know, it's not a huge task, but it's another task where you have to, and I think Trustee Harris had sort of a creative solution to that in terms of breaking down the village by wards and allowing only a certain number within wards, but then you also get the problem of what if they live three in a row in the same ward, or what if they live, one's on one side of the border, the other's on the other side of the border. I'm comforted by our attorney's analysis that he thinks this is going to solve the problem, and I'm thinking maybe we can take a step approach, a measured approach to this, and adopt an ordinance that restricts residency, and then if we think there are reasons that there might, to believe that there might be high density pockets even within the limited areas, then we can adopt an additional ordinance to take care of that, or add under the ordinance to take care of that. Trustee Genrich.
It looks like the largest of the small areas is down near the Austin's grocery store, is that right? Mm-hmm. And that looks like about, I'm guessing, 30 or 40 properties, some of which are single family, but there are also some rental properties in there.
Complexes.
Are we kind of setting that neighborhood up, since that's the only spot left? And if so, that doesn't seem to be... I know there are no perfect solutions, but we're kind of putting a target right on that one.
That's one of the problems with restrictive residency ordinances, is that... people will go where they can go.
There isn't a good answer for what you just raised.
Yeah.
Go 2,500 feet.
That
might be challenging.
That would fix it.
the addition of the density would address it.
Right.
You just wouldn't.
Correct.
You'd be able to have one in that area, and then that would be it.
Right.
But to Mrs. Schutte, her point that, you know, this might be challenged and it might not solve the problem if we're overly restrictive and then push people into one small area. And Trustee Raptor's solution to that was, let's reduce the area, the 2,000 feet to 1,500, and then add in the high density, which would probably result in the same number. It would just prevent the...
It would probably cover more area.
You'd probably cover more area. You'd
probably cover the entire village, which wouldn't work.
Wouldn't work?
No.
Yeah. We discussed that last time. Are we just thinking of creative ways to not allow anyone to live in the village of Alloy, which I think would be challenged? I mean, not just the density ordinance, because it hasn't been done before, but the combination of all of them, which basically, in essence, restricts completely the entire village. That, to me, strikes me as being very challengeable. Yes, Trustee Raptor.
I also don't necessarily like this approach, but if it is challenged, it's going to be challenged at a broad level, because Green Bay has an ordinance like this, Milwaukee has an ordinance like this, a lot of towns and villages have an ordinance like this, so it may force the issue to be raised to a higher level. I would love to see... from all the research I've read, they say that offenders tend to move back to where they live prior to their conviction, and we're not seeing that to be true. So I do think, I would agree with Trustee Gass, that I do think we have to do something that is going to protect our village first and foremost, and secondly, hope that we can raise the level of discussion to either a county or a state level so that we can come up with what is a good solution for everyone involved.
Attorney Duffy, as part of what we sent to you, all of our, there were four ideas. There was also, I think we asked you to start to draft a resolution that we might be able to circulate amongst other communities in the area to try to bring this issue to the forefront at the state level. Can we still do that?
Yes, you can, and I did not prepare it.
Okay. Do you think we could have that by the next meeting, regardless of how we vote tonight? Could we have that by the next meeting, too?
Oh, sure.
Okay. I think that's one approach. We're not going to raise the issue to the state level. Alloy's not going to. Milwaukee might. But I think if we sort of coordinate efforts with our surrounding municipalities, I think the peer is going to be very interested in talking with us now if we pass an ordinance like what we're discussing tonight. And so will Green Bay, and I'm wondering if...
And Bellevue
will be very interested, so... I'm wondering if we sort of coordinate some efforts if that might have more of an effect than just Alloy having changed its vendor.
The other footnote for Andy goes here is that Milwaukee put a 60-day effective date on their legislation. I think in part to see how what kind of reaction they're going to be receiving from both the state of Wisconsin, the governor, and the Department of Corrections now that they've sort of... to a line in the sand. Huge line.
Are you recommending that we do that? Or it strikes me that our line in the sand isn't going to be very wide. Yeah, we could just go ahead and do it. But I'm not expecting that.
I suppose it's a little presumptuous to think that we have the same political impact as the city of Milwaukee, but we're pretty important here in the province.
There's some heavy hitters. Trustee Gass?
No, I think Trustee Rafter might have hit on something. This, ideally should be a uniform issue of statewide concern, but, we may be able to deal with it on a county basis as well. That might be an interim step. I think the county board could visit this issue because of all the differing, regulations by and between communities within Brown County. So this, some measure of uniformity, might be achievable at the county board level, at least for Brown County. Which is, where we're really concerned about, the shifting of people between adjoining communities within our county. So that might be an area of exploration as well with our county board representatives and see if we can get some kind of uniform policy established on a county basis.
Can the county legislate?
I think you're right, Randy, but I think the way you have to approach it is it probably have to be intergovernmental municipal agreements. I don't think the county would have the jurisdiction to interfere with each respective municipality's home rule decisions about what's going on here. So, yeah. It's the city of DePere and the village of Alloy could have reciprocity and say, why don't we all have the same darn thing, be it with Bellevue, everything that's contiguous in the city of Green Bay? But
that's how all this started, though, right?
Yes, it did.
The city of Green Bay didn't want to.
Green Bay created a tidal wave sort of that spread out.
But if I remember right, it was within the last year or two, I think, wasn't even Green Bay, through one, at least one of the committees thinking about revisiting their ordinance.
They did revisit it and they decided to keep it.
Yeah, but at least...
They were to look at it hard. Yeah, they somebody from the legal department brought a lot of information to them about what other alternatives or...
I'm not interested in revisiting it again. Anything further from our visitors? I'd be willing to open it up one more time if you want to add again to the conversation. Unless there are objections, we'll suspend the rules. Yes?
Mark Schutte, 350 Taft Street. I was just kind of curious for Attorney Duffy, the sexual offender ordinances. Do we have any cases, that were defeated in court that were found unconstitutional that we could learn from?
Mr. Schutte, I'm sorry, you have to...
Oh, I have to address you. Okay, I was wondering about him. I was just curious, we're concerned about what's going to be improper or going to be challenged in court. I wonder if if we know certain cases that are definitely going to be, we can't go there because they were already defeated in court. I'm not aware of any. I didn't see any, but I was just curious.
Now, do you know of any? It strikes me that they'd have to basically restrict the entire municipality, but other than that, none of these residency restrictions have been challenged, have they?
I'm not familiar with any case that was adverse to a community that did something like this, but that doesn't mean there might not be cases out there. But, like, with the internet now, if you're doing your own research, and it sounds like he's looked at it pretty hard and didn't find any cases that upset one of these types of regulations. I can't say I have, but I'm reluctant to say that there might not be one out there.
Anything further? Okay, we'll take up the rules. Anything, any further discussion from the board before I entertain a motion? Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gass?
I move to adopt ordinance number 2014-17 with the 2,000-foot radius with the one modification to the appended map to eliminate the north central or northeastern square next to the parkway as a permissible area for permanent residents.
Is there a second? Trustee Rafter? Discussion?
Nothing more than I already said.
Trustee Rafter? Trustee Heroes?
I was thinking back to where this all started, and maybe this goes a little bit before the motion itself, but it came up through an instance where someone moved in and the residents were not notified. That's what's triggered all this, is there was a lack of notification. And in the discussions I've had with different residents, they're talking about, that's what I need to know. If someone's in the area, people have come back to me and said, someone served their time, they have to live someplace. So at least tell me. That's where I think about some of the research that we've talked about, where we push somebody underground, then the residents won't know where they're at. And then we talk about how, as of a month ago or 6 weeks ago, when D.O. Lapnow put together his list, we were at 30. How many have left? Because research has shown that the convicted sexual offenders are more transient than other people. So maybe others have left. Again, we don't necessarily know because we're not getting notified. That's what I'm still trying to figure out, is how can we notify people? Because even if something along the lines of a 2,000-foot restriction passes, if someone has been released and is, I almost said placed, lives in a certain area, and then moves to an unrestricted area, how does the village find out? How do the neighbors of that open area, how are they notified? I don't think there's any mechanism in place for that. So whatever open area it is, how does that differ from something coming up on Taft? How does that differ from any other instance where someone has moved in the last 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 6 weeks? Those are some of my concerns with putting this into place.
I'm not sure I understand your apprehension. We passed, and DEO Lapnow is working on a notification system with the assumption that we still had plenty of places for offenders to live. And if you remember, it was a 750-foot radius of the residents that he was going to notify when he found out. And in some cases, he doesn't find out until up to 10 days after the person has already moved in. In other cases, he finds out before they're going to move in, and there's a bulletin required. So there's a notification change to the notification policy that we already have enacted. This, if this passes tonight, will change it a bit in that there won't be anyone to notify except for people in this very small area. Mm-hmm. Unless, I guess, your apprehension is that we won't know at all because they don't.
Both parts. I wasn't thinking through the part that we'd spoken about with the notification.
Yeah.
But it's more, it goes in line with pushing somebody underground as
yeah.
well.
And that's an issue that, like I said, we won't know until it happens, and then we might not even know. Mm-hmm. Until something something happens, perhaps that's negative, and we realize that this happened by someone who was living in the village and we didn't know they were living there. That was the reason that we didn't, that we adopted the ordinance that we did, the ordering ordinance that we did, and didn't go with a residency restriction. That's still a potential negative of a residency restriction, but I think there are compelling enough reasons to do this. One of which is that it, you know, hearing the testimony of these people who've had to live with this has been extremely touching. And then, as Trustee Gass said, the fact that we've had at least a couple recent high-profile cases where someone came directly from Green Bay to here. And then thirdly, that if we're going to raise this to a state level, we've got to start doing something. And so if that's your apprehension, that people might go underground, it's duly noted, and I agree with you, but I think it's worth the risk at this point. Did that address your concerns? One, I think it's still standing because we can't resolve it, and the other is that you'd forgotten that we enacted the notification.
Yes, I hadn't notification. I hadn't taken that into account.
If you recall, one of the ideas that we sent to Attorney Duffy was trying to require offenders to register with the village before they moved in, even if they weren't required by the Department of Corrections. And that, I think, is even farther out pushing the envelope and might set us up for some unintended consequences that I don't think we want in terms of being challenged. So, to me, it's a prudent thing to take this step, and then we'll try to keep our eyes on it and see how it's working, and if we need to make adjustments, then we do that. Trustee Harris, did that address your questions?
Yes. Okay. Of what I had said, the only other thing that comes to mind is where we've talked about taking our fair share. And from the start, we've looked at Brown County having approximately 500 convicted sexual offenders out of about 250,000. And if we're at 2830 out of 14,000, it is a proportional amount. That's the other thing that comes to mind in terms of everyone. I don't mean to make it sound as blunt as this, but just taking their fair share, where different people are going to live in the community, right. And if that's something we believe the numbers have increased from what we're seeing, but is it out of proportion for Alloway than other places? I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I think what you're getting at is an important issue. It's one that I think I've struggled with since the beginning. Is I don't know the data, how to collect the data, whether this is a statistical fluke, and we might look next month if we hadn't done anything, we'd find out we only had 20. And then the validity of the data that Attorney Duffy started his comments out by saying that the DOC just is really having a tough time with really being able to provide accurate data as to how many and who is living where. And then the third element of that is it didn't seem to be a problem when we did our initial analysis when all this started a few months ago. But a fear of mine, because of these high-profile cases, is the type of offender that we're going to be getting. So even if we're taking our fair share, I'm afraid that we're just going to get more and more offenders who are rejected from other communities. And to me, passing this, one of the things that Trustee Rafter mentioned that I agree with is passing this will hopefully start to raise the conversation to a different level. And we're never going to solve this unless we're all playing by the same rules. And the only way to get there is to raise the level of the conversation to the state level. At least, Trustee Gass, Trustee Dart, did you have something?
Yeah, I have some of the same concerns because they have to have some place to go. And everybody's eliminating all the places to go. So what do you do? They're going to go underground. But I also was here for that. The first time we did we looked at this ordinance and all those factors were considered. It just seems like we're getting pushed into having no choice but to do this because everyone else is. It's just like pushing it until someone has to make a bigger decision. I'm not comfortable with it, but I just think we have to do it.
Yeah. Any further comments or discussion? Any questions about the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
The motion carries. Excuse me. Old item number 12, action regarding the awarding and funding of facade improvement projects. Do we want to hear from Clara and Trevor with regard to the issue before? Unless there are objections, I'll suspend the rules. Trevor.
All right, well, facade improvement program is a revolving loan fund set up through the by the creation of the TIF. In practice, it is self-funding, but it does need an initial seed. So I guess you have two projects that are interested. Talking with elders, they suggested we kind of see if this is something that the village still wants to fund. Typically, TIF funds can be used as seed money, and that is a TIF eligible expense. When I wrote the memo, there were no TIF funds. Since then, there has been something generated, so I clearly explain that.
Sure, and I apologize, I was on vacation last week, but we got a notice dated July 20, 2014 that we are getting exempt computer aid for the TIF district. I didn't see the letter come across notifying us of this previously, but we will have exempt computer aid in the TIF. Either it's been direct deposited already or the check will be here shortly of $46,000.
$46,865.
And then we also got the preliminary. Cash
that.
And then the preliminary values for the TIF came out July 31st. I think they're online on Friday. So we will have an increment in 2015. Just a report.
And do we have any idea what that increment's going to be?
Yes. Our base value of the TID, the 2012 base value, was around $78 million. The current year TID value is around $91 million. The increment value, $12 million. So it'll be around $260,000 to $270,000. Which I know you're going to ask how and what. Report filled out by the assessor of the value, so I had to go back and get the TIF boundaries. So I believe this project right behind us is in the TIF, and that's where the value would have come from.
Trustee Gatz?
With respect to the two applicants for the facade improvement program, what kind of money are they looking for?
I have not seen
$15,000. You know, Trevor? I mean, it sounds like the tax-exempt computer aid that will fund and provide the seed for the, I mean, that sounds like it will be sufficient. So we won't have to go to a general fund or a fund balance for it.
Our maximum is $10,000, isn't it?
Right. Between the two projects, they both applicants are requesting their activities are passing.
15, 1.5?
1.5, yes.
Between the two.
Right. One is asking for the fall down $10,000, and I think the other is asking for $5,600.
And they're asking for a grant instead of a...
Correct.
And so what you need from us tonight is whether the board is interested in funding these type of projects and where the, you know, determining where the money should come from.
That's correct.
And then the actual applications would come, go where?
The actual applications would be due on the 15th. The board is set up that the board would review these applications. So
At the next meeting?
At the next meeting,
okay.
August 19th. So I guess that brings us to the next question, is setting up the criteria and the process that you guys want to evaluate applications.
The criteria is kind of set up what we're going to evaluate them on, am I correct?
I couldn't find anything.
I think we had it pretty well outlined of what we would fund.
It's not in the two...
The type of projects?
Yes.
They're right.
But not the criteria that we would use to evaluate each project.
Correct.
Ehlers has... Do they have recommendations on what's often...
They had to mention that in speaking with Tracy in the village in the past, the village had expressed interest in funding projects that preserve historical character and are contiguous properties with one another. So, I guess that if that's something you're interested in, we could continue with that process.
I think there were discussions at the Plan Commission about criteria for that. I don't recall exactly what they were, but I think they were fairly specific and yet fairly open-ended.
Yeah,
I think it is at the discretion of the board, so I don't think we have to set ourselves in a box. If we don't like, if I'm not mistaken, if we don't really like something, we don't have to fund it.
Yeah,
and
but
we don't have to be.
You don't want to be arbitrary, though. And have
I think we can be arbitrary.
Well, I think we can be arbitrary. We don't want to use that word, do we, Dad? But I have a vague recollection like Penny's. I think when we approved the concept and the program, I mean, we did have some criteria in place, you know, I think for evaluating. I mean, they were fairly general, but I recall that there were some standards that we would review those applications.
I remember there being information on the types of projects that we would encourage people to apply if they had. I don't remember saying that these are the evaluative criteria for the... And they might be one and the same.
I don't think we had to establish that. That's...
Is the August 15th deadline, is that our deadline, or is that someone else's deadline?
That's our.
We set that deadline.
Okay.
Trevor, am I right? It's twice a year we would look at funding projects?
Four times a year.
So I'm kind of excited that we have two projects to look at.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in funding projects, and I'm interested in taking it out of the computer funds that we're getting as well and providing seed money for them.
Is that a motion?
No, it's not.
Do we need money for the computer fund?
No, we're getting money.
We're getting money.
We got money.
Got money. Okay.
Yeah, we can take that from the general fund if we need money for computers. All right, is there anything else for Trevor and Clara before we enter the motion? Trevor, what you need from us is whether or not we're willing to seed fund projects like this and where the money should come from.
Correct.
And then secondly, to think about evaluative criteria.
If that's something you guys want to pursue.
Okay. Clara, is there anything else that you need us to kind of vote on tonight in order to give direction to this project?
No, I don't believe so. And just, you know, a little, the exempt computer, he doesn't, you know, it's not like a restricted source for computers. It has the word computer in it, the history of it is just computers that used to be on personal property tax roll and taken off and you get this and stuff. They're not using something, not sure if they
I'll offer a few comments because I've gotten questions from Trevor about this as the applicants have come in, and he thought the first step we formally process with or without funding, and here's that we're planning some funding. And there's a policy that was developed by a past administrator, and of course you're familiar with it, you've seen it and talked about it. So I started looking at other communities to see what kind of paperwork and things that they had developed to take these projects through completion. There's a lot of things out there, but more of the facade assistance programs are grant related than where you're making mini loans. And the simplicity of the grant is, one, you like what they're going to do, you know what it's going to cost, you can see it, and then when they're done, their contribution is in, and then you make your percentage contribution payment, and voila, you've got something. We talked about loans a little bit, and the problem there is if all of a sudden you're doing $5,000 loan, it gets a little tricky because you get the same amount of paperwork if you're going to secure a $5,000 loan or a $500,000 loan. You know, just where do you want to go with that? Or do you just want to leave a sort of like a letter agreement in place if the person's going to repay? But these are both grants that are coming forward. So they're simpler, but I just wanted to alert you that if this becomes popular and people start looking to borrow from the program, it can get a little hairier. I think the grant aspect of it could be pretty simple and straightforward. It could be managed easily.
I'd like to make a motion that that we proceed with providing seed money for the grant program out of the computer aid fund, and that we postpone discussion and action on evaluative criteria for applications until the next meeting. Is there a second? Trustee Gans?
Awesome.
Discussion? I want to think about these evaluative criteria. I definitely don't want to be too restrictive and box us in so that we have to accept certain projects and not other projects. But I'm feeling some need to have at least some justification for why we're funding one project and not the other. So I'd like to think about that a little bit. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item number 7, Mr. Lang, do you have any news for us before we take up this issue?
I guess if we could postpone this until August 19th. We did do a bid opening. The bids didn't come in what we were expecting, so we'd like a little time to review and look at other options.
Okay. Thank you. Is there a motion with regard to this item?
So move to postpone to 8/19.
Is there a second? Trustee Harris, seconds. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Item number 8, action regarding ordinance 2014-15, repealing and recreating section 31.18B1, possession of marijuana. Attorney Duffy, do you want to add something before I entertain a motion?
Anytime I get a chance to appear before the board and talk about sex and drugs.
See you today.
Previously, under the law, the municipalities were restricted. You could only write first offense citations for simple possession of marijuana, and there was a quantity limitation of 25 grams. Otherwise, if one of our officers arrested anybody with more pot or it was a second offense, all those charges went downtown, circuit court. The legislature decided that we can now write first offense, unlimited amount. We can write second offense, which would typically be criminal or used to be criminal violation, into municipal court if the district attorney decides that he's not going to make that charge against the person. So we've been given the opportunity, but with that opportunity comes, it's kind of problematic because then the officer has to figure out or follow the case to see whether the district attorney is going to charge it or not, and then get some decision from the DA that, well, I'm not going to charge this guy with this pot thing. Then he can bring it back to municipal court. We'll see how the officer, if it's going to be a pop, I don't know, but it seems like a lot of chasing around. They can do it, and that's what we're just modifying our ordinance to reflect what the statute now allows us to do.
Any questions for Attorney Duffy? Is there a motion with regard to this item?
I'll move to approve.
Trustee Raptor, is there a second? Trustee Gast?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 9, action regarding request from Jaggers LLC, 2222 Riverside Drive for a license to sell fermented malt beverages and intoxicating liquors from the 1st of August of this year through the end of June of next. We'll suspend the rules. There's the petitioners here, unless there are objections. Sir, please. Thank you for waiting.
Hi, guys. This is my first time, so it's kind of funny. My name is Marcus, and last name Gorsig. I'm in the area for about 3 years now, and I kind of like this area, and I think the people deserve something new, like a real German food, Slovenian food, and nobody else have. So I think that, you know, something different. Not everyone, every restaurant has the same thing.
What is it going to be called?
Jägers. Jägers, which means hunters. You know, so there's a lot of hunters, so I kind of decided to say, you know, hunters need the bar, restaurant.
All right.
It's a German name for hunters.
When will you open?
I'm trying to by the end of this month, if you guys give me a chance.
Any other questions?
Have you been in the restaurant business?
I was used to more bouncer and a bar. But, you know, I always like to have my own restaurant. I'm going to have my my mom recipe, so it's going to be a real German food.
With German beer?
Yeah.
Do we get to pick the tap?
No. I tried that once. What are some of your specialties?
I'm going to try to have a deer schnitzel, which you're going to call Jägers schnitzel,
yeah.
But the deer meat. I have to talk with the guy on the west side, on the east side, you know, he had deer farm, so I'm still talking with him about if I can have, can get near a deer meat from them. And another thing is like a turkey schnitzel that nobody else has. There's some real Wiener schnitzel that, you know,
can
here.
Can he stop? I'm getting I didn't have dinner yet. Mouth is watering.
Slovenian kind of type of food I like to use, bring goulash, like, you know, the real goulash that nobody else has in this area. Stuffed peppers, you know, big burger, which is decent size, you know, not like this, you pay $15 for something like this, you know, you go home hungry. You know, it's a
Jaeger burger.
Something like this, maybe Roger's burger.
Are you going to be doing any remodeling to the structure?
Not right now. I think everything is shut up for the old owner. He closed down like a month and something to go. And I'm just going to have to go over, clean a little bit, and get ready.
Let us know when you're open.
Yeah, like I said, try to by the end of the month if everything's worked out.
Okay.
If you guys give me a chance, you know.
Any further questions? All in favor?
We
didn't have a motion yet, did we? Okay, sorry.
And then we also need to accept the surrender of the previous license from Riverside Dining. We had granted their license, but it was never issued.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any further questions from our petitioner? We'll take up the rules. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gass?
I'll move to accept the surrender of the liquor license from Riverside Dining LLC and to grant the Class B fermented malt beverage and liquor license to Jaggers LLC.
I'll second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. I hope you guys are going to stop by and try my food.
I think Trustee Gass is ready right now.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Item 10, action regarding the request for a noise variance at Resurrection Catholic Parish for their Autumn Fest on September 7th, 2014 from 10:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m.
It's a late night crowd over there.
Have we not done this before?
Autumn Fest, yes, but the noise permit has to be approved.
Has to be approved every year, okay. Is there a
there a motion with regard to this item, Trustee Dart?
I'll move to approve.
That's the competition, you know.
I know.
Okay. Is there a second? Trustee Harris, seconds. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 13. I will take 13A through D unless you want them broken up. Is there a motion with regard to items 13A through D? Trustee Gass.
I'll move to approve. Or place
Except
as presented.
Okay. Is there a second? Trustee Gass. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 14. Neil is not here. This was an information item. Brad, you were filled in on this. And Neil touched base with me as well. Do you want to let the board know?
Yes, Neil did place the order for the new squad car. It was time crunch because of the time factor of conversion of either a 2014 or a 2015, and in order to get the 2014, he had to make the decision. It fell under the threshold of the 25,000 that typically goes to the board for village board approval. So, you know, that it's 24 something.
Well, you'd like $300 under, yeah, 24.7 or something like that.
So the paperwork's all been signed, and Neil just wanted the board to be aware of what was going on.
If you remember, we got some updates from Trustee Lopnow about options for the cars versus the truck. And so we've been talking about this a little while. He just wanted us to be in the loop that we actually purchased it. All right. Jeff, Trustee Harris?
What will happen with the current vehicle?
I believe with the, typically it's done with the 24-hour squad car, is operate for resale. And it's either placed on Craigslist, or there's a company over by the Wausau area that tends to buy a lot of used police cars. They have purchased some from us in the past. Whether or not that's going to be the direction it goes, but it's, I think he starts to shop that off a little bit.
Thank you.
All right. Is there a motion to adjourn? Trustee Raptor, second. Trustee Dennis, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We're adjourned.